Tonight we look at the third commandment, which all of you probably learned well when you were in confirmation class. A little simpler than the extended version that Don read from the Old Testament, that just simply remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, there is another Sabbath story in the New Testament that comes right before the one that was our gospel lesson for tonight. And in that story, you might remember, Jesus is being criticized because his disciples, he and his disciples on one Sabbath were walking through the fields, and his disciples were hungry, and so they reached in, which, by the way, was acceptable. In fact, people that traveled it was okay to reach in as far as one arm could reach. You could pick the corner, whatever. That was okay. You just couldn't step into all the way into the field and help yourself, but whatever you could reach with one arm. And so they took some and they rubbed it together to eat it. And the scribes and Pharisees criticized them for working on the Sabbath. And if you remember, Jesus then explained to them, well, what do you do about King David when he was running away from Saul? And he snuck into the temple along with his soldiers, and they took the showbread, the bread that was supposed to be set aside for the priests, and they ate it. And then Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So he said, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So we note very carefully that our reading tonight is the other Sabbath story. And in it, though, Jesus never really, if you listen directly, heals the man with the withered hand by touching him. Many of the other miracles that Jesus performs, he reaches out and he touches. Like the man who was on the cot and then they raised through the floor. But he doesn't do that. He tells the man, if you remember, come stand right here. And while he's standing there, then Jesus asks his critics, who were making all kinds of accusations against him, well, what do you think? Is it lawful to do harm or good on the Sabbath? To save life or destroy it? And then after looking around and seeing them all standing in silence, then he ordered the man to stretch out his hand, and the hand is restored. And as you heard in the text, the critics got really furious. Besides themselves, it says, with rage. Even though, legally and technically speaking, Jesus had really actually performed no work on the Sabbath. And I just, you know, as thinking about the text, I just wonder, how in the world could they be so angry and upset when something good is done to somebody? But they were. But Jesus was not bound by those who were sticking to just rules and regulations, and putting rules and regulations over the care of the hungry or the ill. And he doesn't seek to stand out over against others, invoking some kind of legal precedence, but instead, Jesus stands with others. He stands with those who are oppressed, and he has compassion on them. And yet, here we are today. I think we still, in some ways, are just as legalistic as the critics of Jesus, even in the church. And that kind of legalism can prevent us from understanding and enjoying the intent of the Sabbath. You see, that the Sabbath calls us back in some ways to our former idolatries. Do we worship the God who created us, who redeemed us, who bought us back into to wholeness and holiness? Or have we somehow turned to other gods, denying God as truly having a place in our busy lives? And do we also deny God's mission of restoring and reconciling humanity because we're indifferent to his mission? Saint Augustine confessed to God, "We do not find rest, or our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." But today, I think rest is defined as something that we do, something we do with our personal time. And in our culture today of individualism, I don't think we're ever seen resting in God. Oh, yeah, we can argue that the word holiday has its roots in the, or part of its root word is holy. But have we so perverted the holy day of rest that we've denied its value, our being in life, in our spirituality? Our lives become so busy that we say, well, I don't have time for God because Sunday's the only day I have to rest. Well, we see today also how much worshiping the living God has declined from, I kind of said this noon, the absences, if you will, on our places of worship, or from, unfortunately, the graying of the hair of those who are in worship. It'd be nice I'd go back and dye my hair black and my beard black and I'd look a little bit younger, right? But if we look around, we have to admit that our places of worship are, in a sense, suffering from that. And it should give us pause and lead us to reflect more on how lifting up the gospel of God in our life, in our worship together as a community of faith, is so very, very important. Martin Luther commented that the Sabbath day is to lift up preaching for the benefit of young people and the poor common folk. But today we know the young are unchurched and the poor are still longing for relief and compassion. Luther understood the commandment, the Sabbath day commandment, to then be less about our rest and more about our being hallowed. In other words, we need the Word of God. And by that he meant the Word of the Gospel, that we needed to hear those words of Christ to be able to live and to move and to have our being in who Christ is. And even making a habit of going to church, but not actually growing in the promise of God's Word, becomes legalistic. And it misses the meaning of the commandment. I can remember when I was a teenager, a friend of mine and I were going together on a double date, and we were going to pick up the girls. And we're driving past his Catholic church, and he says, "You got to stop." So I stopped. He hops out. He runs inside, goes to confession really quick, then comes back out, and then goes, "Okay, I'm good for the weekend," right? Well, legalistically, he had gone, but he certainly missed the meaning of the commandment. And so Jesus, in our text, bears the criticism of his critics because he sees the real purpose of what it means to actually remember the Sabbath, how the Sabbath was made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. And here he seeks to reconcile God and humanity in his mission and ministry. And the real rest that God gives on the Sabbath our peace and joy, and understanding that our lives are filled with joy because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. You see, the wounds of Jesus are at the center of our worship together during this Lenten season. And so we preach, as St. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. When we are baptized, we're baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. We're raised to walk with him in newness of life. And when we eat and drink at his table, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. These are the wounds that Jesus bore for us, the marks that, in a sense, we're privileged to carry in our own lives in order that we might share with one another, that we might share with others the forgiving peace and grace and love of God, that love that he bought with such a great price, in order that we could share that peace with the world that needs to hear those words from Jesus, go in peace. And so the work of hallowing the Sabbath day is the work that Jesus merited for us. And so we're called to be holy through his grace and love. And it's the work of hallowing God's name that becomes a part of the Sabbath. And yet, every day is a Sabbath, wherever humanity cries out to God in pain and longing. There's a wonderful story about two men who were walking down Fifth Avenue in New York City. And one of the men stopped all of a sudden and said, "I hear a cricket." Now, his partner who was walking with him said, you've got to be kidding. How in the world can you hear a cricket on Fifth Avenue? Well, the first man explained that he was a naturalist and that he had been trained to hear crickets. And to prove his point, he reached into his pocket and he took out a 50-cent piece and he dropped it on the pavement. And 10 people stopped in their tracks. You see, he demonstrated that we hear that which has meaning to us. And so in the same way, we develop our own sense of expectation of the Sabbath, and we train ourselves to anticipate God's presence and his intervention into our lives. And so what can we legitimately expect in worship? What is it that we can expect on the Sabbath day? Well, first of all, we expect to either start or continue a relationship with God. And in worship, we have the opportunity to say yes or no to him, maybe for the first time or for the 100th time. We expect in worship a new beginning. We can expect new freedom. We can realize that old ideas or values can be re-examined. We can let go of things like greed and pride and ambition. And God can give us a new set of values. And third, we expect guidance. We can often come to worship and we ask God, what should I be doing? And then we find out all of a sudden, it kind of goes on like a light bulb. And God suddenly illumines our direction. And that light that comes from God that enables us finally to expect a healing from him in our worship. We can be healed emotionally and physically and relationally. God can speak to us about letting go of old resentments. And all kinds of his grace gets to be channeled our way. That is, as someone once said, if we don't stand on the hose. When we decide to by God's power, to be able to love our enemies, to understand the healing forces that have been set loose in our life, that it's in worship that we hear God's word for us, that it guides us and strengthens us, then we know what God meant when he said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.